We now know who some of the people who'll be on the Obama team will be when he's president, but there is an important appointment yet to be made. The puppy the president-elect promised to give his daughters, which might, he said after his victory speech, be a mutt. Now, this prompted a happy outcry from animal rescue people who were hoping to get a mutt commitment from the Obamas. Our animal rescue reporter, Alice Furlow, has these thoughts.
Every presidential election since 1992, I've done a commentary on the candidates' pets. This year, I couldn't do my usual story because the Obamas had no pets. Maddening. It was such fun reporting on the pets in the old presidential campaign days. My first report was in 1992, when Sox, the Clintons' cat, still lived in the governor's mansion in Arkansas. The host of All Things Considered began my story by saying I'd been disappointed by one of the presidential debates.
Among those paying very close attention to last night's presidential debate was commentator Alice Furlow. While she was glad to hear the candidates address the issues, she noticed they were absolutely silent on a subject she deems mightily important.
Bill Clinton's cat, name of Sox.
I remember how frosty the Clintons' press representative in Little Rock was on the subject of Sox. "We do not discuss Sox," she said. I ended my commentary that year saying that as Sox was a true down-home feline American, she should bring to the White House the deep inner peace which fosters wise decisions. The Clintons wisely decided to give Sox to the secretary, Betty Curry, when they left the White House. He had secretly been her office cat all along. Sox is 18 years old now, still living with Betty Curry on Maryland's eastern shore. Mrs. Curry often gives lectures, accompanied by Sox himself. The George H.W. Bush press office in 1992 was as unfriendly as the Clinton people had been in Little Rock. "Not a single cat in the White House," he said, "even in the kitchen." But then the Bushes' pedigreed Springer Spaniel Millie had written that book talking about things like family, faith, and friends. That year, candidate Ross Perot had said, "I wouldn't trust George Bush to take care of my cat for the weekend." To get details about this cat, I called Tracy, a staff member in Dallas. She said, "Mr. Perot had a cat, but she passed away this summer." "What was her name?" I asked. "Honey." "What color was she?" I asked. Tracy replied, rather uncertainly, "Honey-colored." The year 2000 was my favorite presidential pet year. And Pat Buchanan was my favorite pet lover. 20 minutes after I'd left a message at his campaign headquarters asking about Gipper, his cat, Mr. Buchanan called me back. I warned him that my tape recorder was broken. He didn't care. He started pouring out so much heartfelt detail about Gipper that I could hardly get a question in edgewise. Gipper had been a wedding present from the Buchanan's matron of honor. "She bought him for $37.50, Buchanan told me, clearly implying that this was an incredibly low price for this magnificent animal. John McCain had the most pets of any candidate that year, 31, if you count the king's snake and the gecko. All four McCain cats were declawed, which might have cost him some votes. One cat, Oreo, is alive and well today. And in 2000, George W. Bush nearly won my heart when he kept saying he missed his three cats on his campaign bus. He never said he missed his wife and children, just the cats. But after the Iraq invasion, President Bush, interviewed by Barbara Walters, accompanied by his dog Barney, said, "I'm a dog person. Laura is a cat person." See, pets can show you changes in powerful people. And now the hopes and fears of all us animal rescue folks are focused on the Obama dog. If it turns out to be a needy, mixed-breed pooch, it will be the second of its kind to live in the White House. The first was Loki, Lyndon Johnson's little white three-legged mutt. Lucy Johnson had found Loki abandoned at a gas station and brought him to Washington. I once asked Lucy about Loki in his White House days. She told me, "That dog gave my father unconditional love." I'm sure that will be true of any dog the Obamas finally choose. For NPR News, I'm Alice Furlow.